Hello, Ezio, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks to you.
We take off the interview with one of the questions that pre-Socratic philosophers asked themselves some centuries ago about us. So, Ezio, who are you?
Okay, I imagine that you want to know something about biographical data. So, I was born in Bologna in Italy in 65. I have a PhD in physics and mathematical physics. I joined CERN for the first time as a technical student in 89 and before my PhD, and then I finally joined CERN in 98, so I'm working there since a bit more than 20 years.
Okay, so you've already been working at CERN for a long time. Could you tell us any anecdote that you have experienced here?
Well, anecdotes, clearly you can give many, many anecdotes. Actually, I started for this interview since I was reading the questions half an hour ago, so I prepared two anecdotes that I think are rather, rather representative of CERN. The first one is the image of one winter day. I was in my office, it was snowing, and in the parking of Building 30, there were collaborators from Pakistan coming out. I think it was the first time they saw the snow, because they were, I guess, living in regions where they don't have snow in south of Pakistan, and so they started playing with snow. There were people of my age, or I mean, they were not 20 years old. And it was, I think, a beautiful image to see the surprise of these colleagues and ending in a totally different environment and seeing the beauty of this. The second one, it was, I think, during the retirement of a former group leader, where the wife of the group leader took the floor, and she said, I think, something very beautiful. She said, my husband, every day when he woke up, he was happy to go to work. And this is something that it's really moving for me. And it's a very strong point for people working at CERN, the beauty of the work and the pleasure of working. And usually when I meet people, they ask me what I do and what is my type of activity and how is my life. I usually tell them that I have the privilege that on Monday morning when I woke up, I'm looking forward to go to work, and I'm not saying, oh my God, it's Monday, I have to go to work. Then it's clear that after a few hours, the enthusiasm sometimes comes down because we live in a real world, but notwithstanding this, I think this fact of the pleasure of making this work is very important.
Let's rewind a bit for talking about the past, because I would like to know if you miss something from Bologna.
Coffee. Coffee, and I miss the beauty of the building. I think Geneva had very disruptive operation of architecture in the 60s and in the 70s. They didn't have the war that destroyed the country as in Germany, but they managed to destroy many beautiful buildings, and I really suffer from this horrible architecture that you find here and there, completely mixed with very beautiful old buildings. And all the, how do you say, Lungo Lago, all the streets along the lake, they are a sequence of building, very old buildings, and building from the 70s, very ugly. So this is very difficult to tolerate for me. On the other hand, it's clear that the landscape has incredible beauty, especially with respect to the place where I come from, that is the Pianura Padana, the big plain that is not particularly charming as Toscana or Sicily or other places in Italy.
Okay, now that we are talking about beauty, I would like to know how, well, where a physicist can find beauty.
A physicist is like any other person, can find beauty everywhere. We are not different from the others.
But for instance, you, where do you find beauty?
I find beauty in many things, in arts, in my work, as I said, in understanding things, in not understanding things as well, in reading, in movies.
Okay, could you recommend us a movie?
It's difficult to recommend one movie.
Yes.
I can recommend one director, I think is Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, good one.
Is it fine enough? Because one movie, it's really a tough task.
Yeah.
For somebody like me who loves cinema, so it's very tough. On the book
side, instead of...
On the book side...
Oh, sorry.
Because I know that you will ask me about the book.
Yes, that was the next question.
I really like two books of fiction. One is Il Conte di Monte Cristo, di Alexandre Dumas.
Mm-hmm.
And The Mysterious Island from Jules Verne. That are two books that represent the optimism of 19th century, of the power of science and culture, and the possibility of redeem through science and culture.
Okay.
And I am not a fan of fiction. I usually read a lot of essays. And for the essays, I think I have little doubts. My favorite book, I think, is Gun, Germ, and Steel of Jared Diamond. It's a beautiful essay that explains with a kind of deterministic geography the reason of the evolution of man.
Okay, now that we are talking about literature in general, there's an Italian writer who is called Alessandro Baricco. I don't know if you know him, but I really love his books. And in one of them, which is called Mr. Wing, the main character says, "We are a few pages of a book, but of a book that no one has ever written." So what do you think about this quote?
Well, of course, we are much more than a book, but clearly this is a quotation that must be taken not in the literal sense. So, of course, the book is not yet written. It's up to us to write. Then you can enter all the debate about freedom and liberal media. This is a very long history, but...
Okay, and for not abandoning the Italian, if you could teach people from other nationalities a proverb from your homeland, which one would it be?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question. I would like to quote not a proverb, but a poet.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Perfect, yes, it's better.
Stefano Beni, I think, is also from my hometown, and was something that is prima o poi l'amore arriva. I think it's a beautiful poem.
Could you please try to translate it or explain it a bit?
Soon or later, love arrives. So this means love arrives. Sorry. So this means that you can fall in love or you can feel love at any stage of your life, and soon or later you will experience this.
So yesterday I interviewed Francisco, and he wanted to ask you if you could travel back on time and meet yourself, for instance, 8 years ago, what advice would you give to your past yourself?
If I would go back eight years ago?
More or less. Or if you would like to travel to a specific age, and in that point, give an advice to that yourself?
I would like to travel in time, but not to give advice to myself. I think I would be very curious to travel in time 2000 years ago, more or less.
And for what?
For seeing what happened during the crucifixion of Jesus.
Okay. And now it's time to change roles. So you are now the interviewer and you have the possibility to ask what you like to our next journey.
Oh my God, this I didn't prepare. Perhaps why did they choose this work? Okay. What was the inner motivation?
Okay, and finally, what would you like to be when you grow up?
Well, I think I grew up enough already. I know that in your question now there was something about the biggest ambition or what is your dream. I don't know if it is coming.
Yes, it's related with this because it has to be with imagination. So please, if you want to dream big.
Yes, I think that my big dream is the dream of the wife of the group leader who was retiring. Is the dream of waking up every day and being happy of what you do at work. This is a much more than Nobel Prize, I think.
Okay, so that was the interview. Thank you very much, Ezio, for being with us. I hope you enjoy it.
Of course.
Thank you very much once again.
Thanks, Irene. See you around. Ciao, ciao.